Welcome. This is RAM Radio. RAM stands for Reformation Apologetics Ministry. The host of RAM Radio is Pastor John Coleman of Into the Word, the Biblical Alternative. Using the Bible as his guide, Pastor John Coleman plans to equip the African-American Christian community with the tools that make the scriptures become clear for practical living and protection from the false teacher. Using the discipline of apologetics will open the eyes of the student of the Word to see God's absolute truth and the original intent of the Scriptures. RAM Radio will challenge what you were taught about the Bible as well as your way of thinking and living in this world. God demands more from those who say, "I believe." Grab your Bible and pen and paper. Let's begin our study. Here's Pastor John Coleman.
Thank you so much, Mark Ramsey. Thank you for joining us today on RAM Radio. I'm Pastor John Coleman, Senior Teacher of Into the Word Ministries, which is the Biblical Alternative. Keep in mind that you can always reach me on the Internet, and that Internet address is www.johnecoleman.org. That's the website. When you go to the website, you'll be able to read some of the articles, listen to a lot of the sound bites, past radio programs, and things like that. Please keep it in mind that I don't work with a large staff of individuals. I'm trying to work these things out myself. And I'm a very busy young man right now. And so I'd appreciate your patience. But thank you for coming to RAM Radio. What are we going to talk about today? We're going to talk about the idea that there can be a group of elders in a church working together in peace and harmony. Now, that's a frightening idea when you're looking at many of our African-American churches, because in many of our African-American churches, it has a one-pastor idea. When you look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "Paul and Timothy, bond servants," that's plural, "of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers," plural, "and deacons," plural. So a church should have more than one leader in it. I have always been of the mind that there are at all times more than one elder in a church, that a church should have more than one pastor in it. Unfortunately, working in the African American community, that does not work very well. African Americans have a tendency to look at that, quote unquote, that senior pastor as the only person that God is speaking through. It has also been my experience as an African American pastor that when you are one like myself speaking in authority, especially when God is doing most of the work in you as the ministerial head, that jealousies and other kinds of worldly ideas developed in the other so-called pastors. And I call them so-called because if they're true pastors, that would never develop. Now, let me classify that by giving you an example of what I'm talking about. Let's say that the Lord led me to leave the fellowship that I'm in and to go and visit another church, okay? Let's say that I moved to another city and I went to another church. Now, I'm an elder here in the Anselm Bible Church, Into the Word Ministry, and all that. I'm the senior teacher of all of that. But let's say that I went to another ministry. I don't take my senior teacher attitude there. I go and I sit in that church and I hear the man proclaiming the Word of God, and he says, "You know, this guy's right on. He's giving good, strict, biblical exegesis. I'm learning. I'm able to grow in that ministry." Knowing me, I won't even tell the guy that I'm an elder. I'll just sit there. I'll give towards the ministry, feast upon the ministry. I'll participate in the Bible studies. And then if one of the elders or the pastor calls me and he says, "John, you're very unique. You seem to have a knowledge of Scripture. You are a committed man of God. I understand that your wife is going on to be with the Lord, and you're a very disciplined individual. You seem to be adhering to the teachings of the Scriptures. Tell me a little bit about yourself." And then when I tell this person, he says, "So you're an elder?" I say, "Yes, I am." Now, if he's a true biblical pastor, it's how he responds to that individual message that I've given him. It's what makes him go. I have a book in my library called Biblical Eldership, An Urgent Call to Restore Biblical Church Leadership. It's by Alexander Strauch. I think it's an excellent text. On page 128, he has a chapter, which is chapter 10, entitled Shared Brotherly Leadership. Allow me to read a paragraph of this book. And for those of you that disagree with this idea, you know me, I'm not concerned about what you disagree with. I want you to listen in a little bit. One of the greatest joys of my life has been to share the pastoral oversight of a church with a team of dedicated men. Over the years, this writer says, we have experienced many problems, heartaches, tears, conflicts, and let me assure you, failures. But we have also experienced victory, joy, laughter, friendship, and a deeper love for one another. Now, I'll stop right there, because I believe that the first paragraph that he gave is exactly the big idea that I had in mind when I'm thinking about eldership in a church. I know that I'm the most senior teacher, meaning that God has given me the vision of ministry. God is the one that has worked through me to begin and to start a ministry. But I have to look out amongst me, within the congregation, not outside of the congregation, but rather within the congregation, and find godly men that will be able to assist me in the spiritual nurturement of the people that God has placed under my care. This writer goes on and he says, as partners in the work of shepherding the flock of God for many years, we have sharpened, balanced, comforted, protected, strengthened, and supported one another. Ultimately, this shared responsibility has provided better, longer-lasting care for the Lord's people and for ourselves. I totally, 100% agree with that idea. That concept is not only biblical, but it is one that every true, worthy, legitimate pastor of integrity is seeking to have with other men in ministry. I do not believe if you are in a local congregation that there is only one spiritual person in the group. I believe that there will always be more than one, and God will raise up these spiritual elders. Now let me break off and give you an example of how that works. I am the most senior teacher in the Anselm Bible Church. I have two other elders in that church. Now, these men have taken years of theology with me. They have been by my side. They have the Word of God. As a matter of fact, when we meet in our elders' meetings, we never argue about what is going to happen if a person in the fellowship raises an issue to an elder, and an elder says, you know, Pastor, this issue was raised, and these are my thoughts on these issues. Now, I don't try to influence or say anything. I'm listening to this particular elder's thoughts, because the thoughts should be shrouded with the biblical perspective, with the biblical alternative, with the biblical insight into this particular situation. And my elders and I have never had a disagreement. As a matter of fact, it sounds as if when my elders are speaking, that it's me. Because the objective is a biblical one and not a traditional one. So it is my premise to say that many African American churches must dump their traditional views. You must scrap it, trash it, get rid of it, and come to the biblical perspective. This writer goes on and says, but far more important than my experience or that of anyone else is what God's Word says about the participation in church leadership. According to the New Testament, the leadership, this writer says, our pastoral oversight of the local church is to be shared by all men in the community who qualify and desire the work. Hence, church leadership is a team effort, not a sole responsibility of one professional religious leader. And let's not become confused when I say that I am the most senior teacher. I am the most, I am the most individual that has been placed in charge of making sure that this eldership system works biblically correct. at all times. I'm the one that God has chosen. If that's offensive to you, obviously, you have to go to another fellowship where my personality and my mannerisms are not offending to you. But at the same time, you need to know that this senior teacher is not concerned about what you think. Because you see, once I become concerned about what you think, then I'm going to have to, develop a message that pleases you. And so that you won't get your jaws tight, and so that you can try to control my life. That will never happen in this lifetime. Not to this biblical elder, nor to the elders that I have working alongside of me. Because if they are bendable, if they are flexible, if they are user-friendly, I don't want to have anything to do with them. As far as I'm concerned, they're not biblical elders. This writer goes on and he says, as Paul's greeting to the overseers and the deacons at Philippi plainly demonstrates the plurality of overseers within a local church. To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and the deacons. If any of you know me, John Coleman, you know that over the years I have attempted to bring this eldership idea into the local black, or if you will, African-American Baptist church. Because not only is it biblical, but it is important, especially when that church begins to grow in numbers. There are certain individuals that have been specifically gifted by God to care for certain individual aspects of the local body that this senior pastor cannot take care of. And I think that we can see a striking example of that as we see the first conflict taking place in the Christian church in the book of Acts, where the pastors tell the local congregation to look out and choose amongst the men. And these men would take care of these particular issues, these issues that needed to be confronted. Let's grab our Bibles. And let's go there. And let's see how these group of spiritual men handle this particular situation that had arisen in the church. Now, Acts chapter 6 is the section that I'm reading from. And it says, now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked at the daily serving of food. The 12, that is the preachers, the pastors, the senior teachers of the ministries there in Jerusalem, if you will, summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, it is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables, but select from amongst you. Now check this out. But select from amongst you, brethren, 7 men of good reputation. Now, first of all, he's qualifying the kind of individuals that would be able to come alongside and work in ministry next to the pastors in ministry. He says, men of good reputation. In other words, the reputation has to be tight and straight. And reputation isn't something that people say you are. That is opinion. Your reputation is what you really are. It is your track record. Look at the person's track record. Good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom. In other words, they had to be persons that were motivated, driven by the Holy Spirit of God. And wisdom, meaning that they had to know how to make the right kind of choices in life. Now, let me say this. Let me say this right now. And I'm going to say it, and I know that this is going to offend some of you because, you know, you grew up different from me. When you got an elder that is on his third or fourth relationship with a woman, you know, that's not only a poor reputation, but that's telling you that he couldn't take care of business the first time in the right way. Okay, now, if he's on the second trip and he failed that and he's on the third round, and then you need to look at the way their children are living and everything else. I'm not talking about just necessarily the pastor. I'm talking about these guys that you got working as your right-hand man. Okay, this is what I'm talking about. So they told him to look out and find these men Okay. And full of wisdom. And then he says, whom we may put in charge of this task. And so the pastors were saying, we're the senior teachers here, and we know what we're doing. And this ministry will be run the way that we said it. See, a lot of people try to look at Acts chapter 6 and make this a congregational rule insight. I'm sorry. He just told them, look here, y'all got some brains. Utilize them sometimes. Look out there and look out and find some folk that can take care of distributing cornflakes to the senior citizens. My transliteration. Now look at what he says. But we, these are the pastors speaking in verse 4, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now, how did that statement sound to the people as they listened to the pastors? And it says, and the statement found approval with the whole congregation, and then they immediately set out to do something. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Oh, my gosh. They went right out characteristically and found a person that fit the qualifications. And then it says, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon, Parmenius and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. Now you may say, well, why didn't they give the characteristics of the others? For sure, they fit them. But they pointed out Stephen because as you read the book of Acts, you will find more about this very unique individual. This elder, you may call him a deacon, but he was a man working right alongside the preachers, helping getting the work of ministry done. You know, over the years, I'll use the term, and you may not like the term, but I've taken pride in how I've tried to develop administratively a church. You see, and you have to understand, I'm very cautious doing it the third or fourth time now. I'm very cautious in doing it. As a matter of fact, I was speaking with one of my elders in the church, and I said, oh, man, you know what? I'm going to move slow as a turtle this time. So I want to see whether a man can take the pressure. I want to see whether he is serious about Jesus, whether he's serious about me. I will never place next to me a man that wants what I have, and in his heart he knows that he does not have it. It's mistake number one. Let me talk to you pastors out there. You got a lot of people, a lot of young, you know, in our community, we call them young preachers. They're not preachers. They're nothing. They're opportunists, if anything. Because when you find a young preacher, you're talking about a young person that is sacrificed and ready to die for Jesus at the drop of a hat. And I don't think that these novice are ready for that. No, they love to get up, you know, the first thing, pastor says, well, boy, I'm going to let you preach your first sermon. I'm talking about in the African-American community. Boy, you're going to preach your first sermon. And, my gosh, comes in a brand new suit, right, from Saks Fifth Avenue. Go out and buy him a $250 pair of alligator shoes. For what reason? I'm not looking at this clown's feet. And man, buy him a brand new Bible. Man, the thing is so new that when he opens it up, he can't even find the book that he's preaching from. His mama's taking pictures and got a red rose on his lapel. Man, the choir sings 14 numbers and the introduction to this novice who doesn't even know the extremity of what it takes to be a pastor and what God has called the man of God to do. Man, he gets up and he stumbles and he makes these statements like, y'all are not praying with me. Y'all are not, no, number one, fool, you have no business standing up there. You know nothing. You're nothing. You've never been called. Some of your heroes are Fred Price. You're looking at Fred Price. Man, that man doesn't even believe that doctrine is important. And you're trying to, immolate him? Wait a minute, who else are you looking at? You're looking at, Dr. Kenneth Ulmer, big bishop of Faithful Central Bible Church? Man, you're looking at what? You're looking at Ken in the Inglewood Forum? My God, wait a minute. You're looking at Rick Warren Everybody coming to churches, man, big, you know, TV screens and sound system jamming and kicking and weighing and swaying. And, man, you're looking at all, and you want to stand in front of 5,000 people like Charles Blake down on Crenshaw in Los Angeles and bedazzle them with your rhetoric? I never choose you as an elder. I never look at you unless you are ready to die for the kingdom. To die, that means to give up the ghost. To sacrifice everything in your life for Jesus Christ. Everything. You young novice preacher, did you know that the very people that you stand in front of, if you don't give these backwards, religious, self-seeking individuals exactly what they deem you to give them, that they will destroy you where you stand. It has always been my purpose and practice never to have my name on money in the church, meaning that my name is not on the deed in the African-American church. They would tell you, boy, you better make sure you own that building so you can put the people out and they can't put you out. No, you can put me out of brick and mortar all you want. You can never put me out of God. And nor will I ever tell you anything to appease you. I will tell you how stupidly debauched and depraved you are and how you need to repent of your total debauchery. We're talking about biblical eldership. What kind of a person is this elder? Although Paul singles out in this text in Philippians the overseers and the deacons for special mention in his greeting, they are given no separate elevated position above the congregation. You see what I mean? And that is what we need to come to know. Because you are this, you are not better than the other people. Then this writer goes on and says, the letter is written to all of the saints in Philippi in the terms overseers and deacons are subjoined to this phrase. All the members at Philippi are truly elevated in God's sight. The overseers and the deacons are associated with all the saints and as leaders are distinguished from the congregation within the greeting, but for uncertain reasons. And then he goes on and he says that one A.T. Robertson comments, and I'm quoting, Paul does not ignore the officers. He does not ignore the officers of the saints or church. Though they occupy a secondary place in his mind, the officers are important, but not primarily. The individual saint is primarily. Church officers are made out of saints. Paul does not draw a line of separation between clergy and laity. He rather emphasizes the bond of union by the use of together with. Can I get a witness? Do you understand, church, that the position of me, let's say being senior teacher of Into the Word Ministries, Ram Radio and all that kind of stuff that we do to identify what I do, and that's all that is, in no way infers or suggests that I in any way am superior to you. That is why I will not allow you to give me a special day where you honor me. I don't need to be honored by you. I need to be respected by you, and I need to respect you. It is a calling that God has laid on the heart of any particular elder. And he must, that is that elder, he must communicate the effectiveness of that calling in such a way that it meets every biblical criterion that God has outlined for that man. So please do not misunderstand me and think that I think that I'm superior to anyone else because he's called me as a senior teacher. It means that he's merely giving me a responsibility above and beyond that of anyone else in this ministry that I am in charge of. And therefore, if anyone comes into this ministry, even as an elder, mind you, and brings a suggestion that is not meeting the biblical mandate, I, as a leader of this ministry, will refuse the suggestion and deny it straight up with all of the authority that God has given me when he placed me in this position. And get this, you didn't call me, individual Christian. God did. And I don't know why a guy would be or a gal would be following a pastor if they didn't think that God called him. You figure that one out. I'm still trying to figure that one out. Although the overseers and the deacons, this writer says, are mentioned in the greeting, Paul is speaking to the entire company of the saints in the rest of his letter, as he does in all of his other letters to the churches. So the term overseers and deacons are used here as an official designation for recognized church leadership positions. Some commentators insist, this writer says, however, that the two terms are only used functionally to designate those who generally superintend and serve the saints. Now, I like that because that's all I see myself doing is superintending and serving the saints in the church. They support this interpretation by the absence of the definite article before overseers and deacons. And what he means by the definite article, he's talking about Greek exegesis as he looks at Philippians chapter 1. Verse 1, which I think is very, very important. My gosh, I cannot believe that my time has about run out, and indeed it has. Listen, we're going to continue this next time we come back on Ram Radio, but our time is out. Mark Ramsey will give you the name and address and so that you might know why or where you might reach me. God bless you, and thanks for listening.